For Parshas Balak, and I apologize that I'm a little bit ahead. I think we catch up next Shabbos, right? A week from the Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, this week actually, because we're reading two Parshas.
Oh, you're reading Balak also this Parsha?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, I thought it was a week later. Now, there's a pasuk in Micha, which is going to be the focal point of our discussion today. And that pasuk is going to put our parasha of Balak into a very, very special, unique category. I would almost say that it puts it in a category as great as Matan Torah itself. And in this mimer, we're going to prove that it certainly has a status that's very similar to, if not equal to, Kriyat Shema. And I think it's important that we learn this together, because we can read Parshas Balak, and, you know, there's certain parts of the story that are exciting. You know, here's Balak, you know, hiring this great Makalel, you know, the great cursor Bilam, and then Hashem gives Bilam the status of Nevuah. He's a heathen prophet, as we would say. Chazal in certain places compare his prophecy and the quality thereof to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there are beautiful, lofty, majestic visions in Bilam's prophecy. I mean, there are Matov Lecha Yaakov, which is something that we recite every morning. Truas Melech Bo, which is a pasuk that we read on Rosh Hashanah in the Musaf. I mean, there are many, many beautiful things that Bilam has to say. I mean, one only wonders why Hashem put those words into the mouth of Bilam, who is a scoundrel. I can't answer that question for you, but Chazal say that if the Umas Olam will come forward and say, oh, if only we had a Navi, etc. So what does it say in this pasuk in Micha that elevates the parsha of Balak to one of the most significant parshios, and we could really miss the boat? The Navi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rarely does this, but he has a bakasha to Klal Yisrael, and he says through the mouth of Micha the Navi, Ami, my nation, he addresses the people of Israel, and this will be read in the Haftorah, Zecharna, please remember. And that phrase Zecharna has two chidushim to it. One chidush is Zechar, because we have Sheish Zechiros, and maybe we're tempted to add this to the list, because if there's a Zechira of Maimon Har Sinai, and there's a Zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's a Zechira of Maisa Miriam, and so forth, a Zechira of Amalek. Now we have to add another Zechira. But the second word is also important, Na. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is begging Klal Yisrael to remember. Remember. Ma Yo'atz Balak Melech Moav, Ma ono so Bilam ben Bi'or min Ashitim ara Gilgal leman das tzidkas Hashem. So we want to emphasize not only the zechira, which God asks us to remember, but also to emphasize the ultimate goal of this zechira, and that is leman das tzidkas Hashem. Almost essential and critical to all our tefillos and all our hodos and hallel and so forth is leman das tzidkas Hashem. We have to appreciate the great tzedakos that Hashem has bestowed upon us. And that's a mussar message for each and every one of us on a daily basis. But here, as a nation, God points out, he pinpoints the intentions of Balak and Bilam. Please remember that. And ultimately das, you'll be able to reach das of Tzidkas Hashem. So what I want to do with you now is highlight certain points in this essay. I'm not going to read the essay with you word for word, although it's beautiful. The Hebrew is outstanding. And we don't have an hour or two to do that. I'm going to try to highlight the concepts, pinpoint the paragraph headings and the main sources that he quotes. And in some cases, we'll read it inside. We have here in Sefer Micha almost a mitzvah, what we call Midivrei Kabbalah. I can't call it a mitzvah d'orais in Taryag because it's in the Navi, but there is a concept of a mitzvah Midivrei Kabbalah. We have many such mitzvahs. Kibud V'yoneg on Shabbos is derived from Yeshayahu and Navi. And here's a mitzvah of Zecharna that's derived from Micha. And the content of the mitzvah is to remember that the Machshava Ra, that there was an evil desire on the part of Balak and even Bilam himself to destroy the Jewish people. And very often we commemorate salvation when the divine being intervenes to save the Jewish nation. And if we're required to remember on Purim HaMolek, on Hanukkah we remember the salvation of the Chashmonaim from the Greeks, from the Avonim, and so forth and so on, then we are obligated to remember that our lives as a nation were on the line because there were two individuals, and especially one who had the power to do so, to destroy the Jewish people. So whenever our adversaries threaten the Jewish people and God intervenes to save the Jewish people, we have to remember that. And that's called Leman Das Tzidkas Hashem. That Hashem stood on our right side and protected us. And here we want to mention another point. That the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Zayin actually quotes this pasuk in Micha and adds an embellishment of Rabbi Elazar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, please know what I did for you in terms of what's called Za'am. So let's just spend a minute trying to figure out what this Za'am, Zayin Ayin Mem, there's a Shas Za'am. Every day in a 24-hour period, there's a fraction of a split second, less than a second, in which there's Za'am. It's a metaphysical concept beyond our comprehension. And it touches on the very essence of what a klal is all about, a curse, what kishuf is all about, and those who want to bring destruction. These are individuals that are empowered with an uncanny ability to be mechaving the Shah, to know exactly when that Za'am is. And that moment of Zam is when the Jewish people in particular are exposed, are vulnerable to Shas HaZam. And we could say that all of our enemies throughout history who were able and successful to defeat us, they were people who either consciously or subconsciously knew about the Shas HaZam. Zam is divine wrath. And at that moment, there's Midas HaDin, and that's what Bilam had in his arsenal. He was so powerful as a sorcerer to give a curse because he knew when the Shas Zam is. And the Gemara tells us, based on a pasuk in our parasha, that God did an amazing miracle and he withheld the Shas Kas and Zam during this period of time when Bilam attempted to curse the Jewish people. And this is written in the pasuk, Ma'ekov lo kava'el, ma'ezom lo zam Hashem. Ma'ezom, I want to get that moment of zam, says Bilam, but lo zam Hashem. Hashem is retracted. He sort of changed the whole metaphysical nature of the universe, Umalami, this teaches us, Shekol Osam Hayomim, all the days that Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people, Lo Zom Kel. And how long of a period of time is this Zom on a daily basis? The Gemara calls it Rega. And there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, how long Rega is. It's infinitesimal. But that's the Rega Biapo, that's the moment of divine wrath, and Hashem withheld that moment of Zom. Now there's an important source here. I don't know if you have the pages printed out. If you do, then in the middle column on the first page, in the third paragraph, he has a translation of the Zohar. And the Zohar says the following. Why is it that it's so necessary to fulfill this request of God of Zecharno Mayatz, Bolak Melech Moav, etc.? Why is it so important that we remember the Yeshua Hashem during this time period of Bolak and Bilam? Says the Zohar, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klal Yisrael. And he says, Vaish anachnu tzokim b'chol yom, on a daily basis we cry out to Hashem. In Bechi, we say, based on a pasuk in Eicha, Zachar Hashem ma'ha yelanu. Hashem, have compassion on us. We've suffered so much. Says the Zohar, when we say all these psukim of Zachar, please God, we petition you to remember us and save us, Zachar Hashem Livnei Edom, and other psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Zohar doesn't want to pay attention to us. And he says, I'm going to make a deal with you, he says. I'm going to ask you, Zacharna, me, Yatz, Balak, etc. And that's my bakasha to you. If you pay no attention, you ignore my bakasha, then Hashem says, when you scream out to me, Zachar Hashem Mahayolanu, etc., Zachar Adascha Kinisa Kedem, Zachrani Hashem Bertzon Amecha, I'm not going to pay any attention to you. HaKadosh Baruch says, Ani lo mashgiachal. Why? Because I asked you for a Zachira, and you ignored it. Rabosa, what's unbelievable about this Zohar is that the key to our ability to petition God on behalf of the nation of Israel during all these periods of time throughout Jewish history, and we plea and we yell, Zachar Hashem Ayolanu, is all dependent upon our response to God's Bakasha to remember the days of Balak and Bilam. Why is that so? Balak and Bilam is a very interesting, as we said, parasha, a lot of nice pirushim, Rashi has a whole thing. But that's the key to open up the door for Hashem to listen to our Zachar Hashem, Mahayolanu, that you should remember us. Why is that so? What is so crucial about remembering Balak and Bilam? Now, we're up to Hakafa Beis, but another attempt at proving from Chazal how important it is to read this parsha of Balak and Bilam. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda in Brachos Daf Yud Beis, and he says that Chazal wanted to establish the parsha of Balak in Kriyat Shema. The only reason they didn't do so is because it's quite a long parsha, and it's Torah HaTzibur. Who could imagine reading the entire parasha of Balak and Bilam twice daily in Kriyat Shema? But if not for Torah HaTzibur, it should be an integral part of Kriyat Shema. My time, what is it that's so great about Parshas Balak? If you're going to say, well, there's a pasuk that says, Kel Motzi Ami Mitzrayim, that you are the Lord our God who took us out of Mitzrayim. So why not recite Parshas Ribbis? There also it says that you are the God who took us out of Mitzrayim, also Mishkolos. And the Gemara finally pinpoints it on one pasuk. What pasuk is that? Karasha chavkari uklavim yikimenu. So Rashi is really bothered by what's in this one pasuk that therefore this parsha, if not for Tocha Tzibur, should be an integral part of Kriyat Shema. Says Rashi, because this pasuk has a certain striking resemblance to Kriyat Shema. In Kriyat says Vishalpakov Kumecha, and here too it says Karasha Chav Kari, we go to sleep like a lion, Ukilavimi Kimenu, and like a lioness we wake up in the morning. And what this means is, says Rashi, that when we go to sleep at night, God protects us. And when we wake up in the morning, God protects us. Lishkov shlevim ushketim kari ukilavi. By the way, I'm not sure that a lion gets such a good night's sleep. I mean, the Gemara tells us that there are certain very little creatures, small creatures, that the lions are absolutely afraid of. So unless they get a good spray, I forgot what that spray is called. I remember I was in the Rockies and it was terrible. I mean, the mosquitoes were killing us. And you couldn't buy that thing. What's it called? They didn't have it. Everybody bought it up, you know. Anyway. So he says the following, that there's some sort of resemblance here, Dimyon, between the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, Bishavakov Kumecha, and this pasuk of Kora Shachav Kari Uklavimi Yimikimenu. And, you know, these are the lions, the king of the animal kingdom. They're not afraid. And that's because in the Nimshal, God is going to protect us. And that's it. So the Gemara asks, so why not at least recite that one pasuk, Kilavimi Kimenu, that we should integrate into Kriyat Shema. And the Gemara activates the principle of Kol Parshat D'lo, what's it called? Kol Parshat D'lo Paska Moshe Beno Anan Lo Paskina. So it's an all or nothing proposition. Either we recite the whole parsha or nothing. We can't just pull out a pasuk from a parsha. And again, you know, our question is, why is this parsha so important that it belongs to Kriyat Shema, which is Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim, one of our greatest mitzvahs? And not only that, this one pasuk, what's it all about? Now, he quotes a Pnei Yoshua, which I'd like you to see on page 2, if you have the text. And the Pnei Yoshua says, Af she'eni kedai, you know, he says, I can't be the one who's worthy of claiming I understand why they, you know, they wanted to put established Parshas Bilam in Kriyat Shema, and it was apparently important to fulfill the Ami Zecharna. He says, Mikomakom nira maimer zetamu lomar shebikshu lekvoa parshas bolak b'kriyat shma mishum da haikra di yutzis chayim u'shchiva u'kima mabakach. So what? Kama kroi kai gavna ashkechan. We have other psukim, many of them. Hayanir li debalav hochi yotzad chiyuv lazkir inyan bolak b'chol yom based on Micha. So in other words, it goes like this. True that the pasuk that talks about God taking us out of Mitzrayim, Kel Motzi Mitzrayim, and the pasuk that talks about God protecting us at night and in the morning like the lions to feel secure, those psukim exist all over the place. But we're going to add this to Kriyat Shema because anyway we need a mitzvah. We need to fulfill God's request of Zecharna to remember Balak. So once there's a mitzvah to remember Balak, then we might as well add it to Kriyat Shema because of these different, you know, two different elements that are so critical. And just to give you a feeling of how far this mitzvah might go, if it's a mitzvah, the Chidah writes that it should be added to the Sheish Zechiros that we recite on a daily basis, and it should be introduced by the following recitation. Hareini Makayim Mitzvah Lizkar Shehitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Savoseinu Mibolak Umibila. One of, if not the greatest poskim in the last 300 years in Sephardic history is the Chidah Azulot. And he says that we should be reciting Hareini Makayim Vazeh mitzvah, lizkar, and reciting this on a daily basis, lahatzil shehitzil Hashem es avoseinu, uma ono so bilam ben biyar, etc. And this is what we should be reciting on a daily basis. So if somebody tells you there are only sheish zechiros and not seven, like, you know, the Moni HaMitzvos will say there's only 613 and not 614, quote him this chidah, because the chidah has an additional zechira, number seven. The Ramban, in his Hasagas on the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, wants to add another mitzvah saseh, and that is Lizkar Yeshua Hashem Batzas Meatzas Bolok Umi Bila. And that's the pasuk Zechor Al Tishkach Eis Asher Ktzavta, which is a mitzvah of Doros. And then in the Ramban adds Uki Einze, another mitzvah of Doros, is Ami Zecharno Mayotz Bolok Umelech Melech Moav, etc. So this is really amazing as the plot develops, that this pasuk in Micha indicates perhaps a mitzvah saseh, or at least another zechira, and moreover, it's the key to get Hashem on our side to respond to our zechira. So we have our bakosh of zechira, Hashem remember us. And Hashem says, quid per quo, if you want to, for me to remember your zechira, I'm asking you to remember my zechira. And beyond that, to establish this parsha as part of Kriyat Shema, if not for Tircha de Tzibura, what's it all about? So the Shvili Pinchas has what he considers a new idea. Dover Tov, B'derech Avoda, and he says the following. If we look at all the battles of our adversaries throughout history, Kol HaMilchamo Shenilu Oyvei Yisrael Kenegdenu, he says you'll find that all of them, with the exception of Bilam and Balak, are military campaigns in which we are attacked by our enemies or we're sent into Golus. And what's common about all of them is that we have, the Jewish people, koach ha-tefila. Mi ke'amcha Yisrael goyecha ba'oretz, asher lo lekim koviv elav, bechol koreinu elav. So we're very much aware of the dangers that lurk in the shadows and surround us. Here in Israel, for sure, we're aware of this. There was the Shibud in Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim were subjecting us to Avodah Kasha b'chomer b'lveinim, and we cried out, Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael min Avodah, Vayis'aku, Vatal Shavasim Elokim, and God heard our cries. Milchemes Amalek goes out against us to battle, Vayovo Amalek, Vayilochim, im Yisrael b'refidim, and Moshe Rabbeinu commands Yoshua to go out to battle, while he, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the pasuk says, "Mochar Anochi Nitzav al Rosh HaGivah Mat Elokim Biyodi." Yoshua goes out to battle against Amalek. Moshe Aaron Vechur are on the Rosh HaGivah, and Kasher Yorim Moshe Yodo Bekitzer. As we all know, that was Tefillah, and this is the pattern that continues throughout Jewish history. You know, we have in Purim, Laharig Lashmi Lamed, and Esther's response, Leich Klos is called Yehudim, and there's Tefillah. But here we have one exception. And we don't realize how extreme of an exception it is, how radically different it is. And that's Bolak and Bilam. And why is this so radically different? And the answer is because this was a spiritual battle against Israel, not a physical one. And not only that, the battle was between Kochos HaTumah, Kochos HaKedusha, in which Balak hires Bilam to use his kochos atuma to curse Klal Yisrael. And you know what goes on here? He says that when Bilam accepts upon himself this shlichus of Balak to be mekal Klal Yisrael, over and over again he repeats the refrain that he needs God's approval, and he will not be able to curse Klal Yisrael unless God is behind it. And hence we have all the klalos of Bilam that are converted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu into brachos, the most beautiful, majestic brachos. And here's the punchline. V'lo haya yadua klal le-Moshe u-le-Bnei Yisrael. Moshe b'nei Yisrael are in Arvos Moav. Balak and Bilam are on the top over there of the mountains. They're going from place to place. Lo yachlu laspalel she'oshim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no possibility for Klal Yisrael to pray to God to spare them from Atzas Balak u'Bilam. Ad, what happened at the end? Shegila HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God reveals all the partei advarim, b'derech nevuah to Moshe. Moshe reveals and transmits them to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Ka'es, now, at the end of this entire episode, Yomar Yaakov Yisrael Ma'pol Kel, Bilam's last, you know, bracha, which again, mitoch perchosav, you see what his klala, what he had in mind, was that now, Ka'es, now the people of Israel, of Yaakov and Yisrael, will be able to declare Ma'pol Kel. So Bilam, at the end of this whole episode, tells Balak that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what word is hayfer in English, when he's completely transforming the klola into bracha, changing it, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to notify Moshe Rabbeinu about the whole story, so that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, could reveal it to Klal Yisrael. And it's only Ka'es now, Yomar Yaakov, Ma'pol Kel. Only retroactively, at the end of the story, when Hashem is Modia to Moshe to Yisrael, only then do we have the possibility of appreciating what God did for us. And that's what Micha says, Ami Zecharna, Mayatz Balak. Remember what Balak and Bilam tried to do to you. Now on page 3, he has a Chassam Sofer. This is a must. A beautiful Chassam Sofer. He says the following. Yesh la orer b'dovrech. He says, I'm perturbed by one thing. He says that everything in the Torah we know based on eyewitnesses. And that testimony is passed, transmitted through the generations. There's only one parsha in the Torah where there were no witnesses and no one to transmit it. And that's the parsha of Bilam. He says, if you talk about the miracles of Mitzrayim, the people saw these miracles and transmitted them to generations to come. There was Shishim Ribui. Even, he says, the creation of the world and the story of the Nachash in Gan Eden, or the Mabul and the Dor HaFloga, the Ramban says that Adam HaRishon was aware of all of this and he passed it on through the generations peh al peh. It reaches Shem, the son of Noach, and Yaakov Avinu is the student, a disciple of Shem, and Yaakov is 50 years old when Shem dies. So for all those years, Yaakov studies from Shem. V'kibol mimenu et kol hanal. He received the entire transmission and the eyewitness testimony of the Maisa Mabel, the Afloga, so that Yaakov could pass this on as a tradition to his children. Amram hears from Levi about Moshe and Aaron and what happens. He goes on and on and on. He says, okay, there are a lot of ideas that he's developing here about Cain and what Cain was able to transmit. Talk about the miracles at the revelation at Har Sinai. Is Einenu Ro, we saw it, and we transmit it to the next generations. And he says the following. Moshe stands at Har Sinai, passes on the Torah later to Yoshua, Yeshua's game, his game of the Nevi'im, and this is our tradition of passing and transmitting the Torah from one generation to the Mesorah. Take, for example, he says, the mitzvah of tefillin. The Torah says, L'toltofos b'nei necha. Would anyone get up and say, well, I have a different shot in toltofos. It's not that black box that you wear on your head. You have sukkah and dalet minim. So somebody's going to come along and say, well, I have a different shot in what sukkah and dalet minim is. You have maisa karbonos. Mi yochel l'shanos hadover. Who could actually change? This is something that's inherent in the Jewish tradition. Shenoi b'chol yom b'yom b'chol shana v'shana. In front of the Zekadim and the Nevi'im. And therefore, everything is a matter of Talmud, who gives it over to him, to another Talmidim, 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 Ada Yom HaZeh, Chutz Miparshas Bila. Mi Higid Lanu, says the Chassam Sofer, going on to the second column. Mahoya, Ben Melech Moav, Ben Melech Moav, Ben Kosem Echad B'Shem Bilam. Does anybody know? Were there any witnesses to testify? Why did Bilam come? We don't even know who brought Bilam. We have no testimony to that effect. Does anybody know? Did anybody see that he built Mizbechos? And he, Bilam, wanted to be Mekal Klal Yisrael? No one has that in a transmission. Does anybody have a testimony that Bilam's klolos were turned, converted into brachos? And he goes on and on and on, and he says, "Afilu Moshe Rabbeinu v'sham lo yada." Moshe Rabbeinu, without having a revelation, a prophecy from Hashem, he didn't know what was going on. It's only Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Chassam Sofer, that Moshe Rabbeinu knows about this, and therefore, Hanavi Tzavach, Zecharna Mayotz Balak. Says the Chassam Sofer, listen to this dramatic closure. Hine amamin b'chol haTorah, u'b'chol misoseh, rak mistapek b'parshas Bilam, Hareu kofer b'Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. A man accepts all of Torah, all of mitzvahs, but he denies the story of Bilam. Why? Because there's no testimony, there's no transmission. Nobody could tell us they were there and they witnessed it. So he's kofer. He just says, you know, I'll accept the whole Torah, but leave out Balak. That story I don't go for. You know, that never happened. And the reason he says it is because Shum Echad Lo Yoda Mizeh. Nobody knew about it. And as we said before, the Chassam Sofer points out that Moshe Rabbeinu only found out about it from Hashem. Now we begin to understand what is very unique about this salvation, this Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael from the Eitzah of the intention of Balak U'Bilam. And it's radically different than all the other miracles that Hashem did in Yitzis Mitzrayim and Amalek to save us. When Bnei Yisrael was suffering from the oppression of their enemies, and they cried out to Hashem, so Hashem responded to our prayers. Okay, that's Nicha. But in the case of Balak and Bilam, that no one amongst Klal Yisrael, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, was aware of what was going on, and his great spiritual battle that Balak and Bilam were fighting against Klal Yisrael, and nobody knew about it, nobody prayed for it. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws himself into the ring to be Mefer Atzosom L'Kalkel Es Machshavtom. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his great love for Klal Yisrael. God says, I will protect you from every tzar of Itzuka. I will save you from every oyev, from every enemy, even if you're not aware of it. And even if you're not praying on behalf of your Atzola. And this perhaps sheds a light, and it's well known, on the Pasuk Halluas Hashem Kol Goyim in Hallel, we say. And why should the nations of the world be praising God, Halleluka? Shabchu Kol Ha'umim Ki Gavar Aleinu Chazdo V'Emes Hashem Li'olam Halleluka. Well, what does it mean? That the nations of the world should be praising God because God bestowed His chesed upon us? And the answer is, because there are zmamot, there are plans and schemes of the enemies of the Jewish people to destroy us, and we don't even know about it. So who can praise God for the salvations that we're not even aware of? It's only the goyim themselves who know and appreciate how Hashem, with His compassion for Klal Yisrael, intervenes and saves Klal Yisrael. They are the ones, the goyim, who are fit to recite Hallel on the Chesed HaGadol Shosim V'nei Yisrael. We ourselves are not aware of that great salvation. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Osei Niflos Gedolos Levado. God does great miracles levado. Levado means without our knowledge. We don't even know about it. And basically, this parsha of Balak and Bilam is perhaps the most profound and emotional expression or revelation or realization of God's love for Klal Yisrael. We're not aware of what's going on behind the scenes. And God is saving us. He's sparing us. And if you take a look at the end of page 3, you'll see a Zohar in which he says the following. Towards the end of page 3, Bachar Rabbi Pinchas V'Amar Ribono Shel Olam Irua nes zeh asisa bishvili v'nitzlu osam Yehudim v'lo yadati. So Rabbi Pinchas says that God in heaven, you have done miracles to protect the Jewish people and we don't know about it. And Pasach v'yomer li osei niflos gedolos levado kiliom chazdo kamatovos osa kadosh baruch hu b'nei adam Kamanisim kori lehem b'chol yom v'lo yodea hu ela hu levado. The only one who knows it is hu levado, is God Himself. And he goes ahead to give many, many examples of this, and he quotes the pasuk, Oseh niflos gedolos levado. This is what Parshas Balak is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from these evil people, levado. He fights off and defeats the Kochos HaTumah without Klal Yisrael being aware of it. We don't even know how dangerous those moments were if left alone to his own self. Balak, Bilam would have known how to tune in, so to speak, and take advantage of the Shas Zam and curse Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom. And this is the great miracle and the fundamental belief that we derive from Parshas Bilam. And now perhaps we can add a whole new light as to why Parshas Bilam should be integrated, if not for Tircha de Tzibura, into the fabric of Kriyat Shema. And if you want to follow this, we're on page 4, and we're up to the paragraph on the bottom right column, where he quotes the Gemara in Brachos about Kriyat Shema. Kol amarich bi echad, marichin lo yomav ushnosav. Rabbi Yirmiyahu avi Yosef kavid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, chaziyot avi marich tuva. He was marich for a long time in the word echad. Amale, kevan dam lichas olamala lamata li arba ruchas ashmaim sulo tzorech. You don't have to be marich so much in echad, just be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the four ruchos, up, down, and right and left. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Tzorech laharich beches shel echad. A lot of people think that the main thing is the dalet, but he says the ches, then he brings in the dalet. He says, kidei sheyamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shamayim v'arz yach bedalet shel echad. Shir Shiach Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Yochid Bo Lomo Moshe B'dalet Ruchos Ha'ol. So our statement of faith, our commitment to the Almighty, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We believe with a full faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He's the Yochid U'Miyuchad. He is in control of the entire universe. U'Poel Kirtzono. And everything happens according to the divine will and divine plan. That's what Kriyat Shema is all about. We are stating that there's no power in the universe, no authority, that can be poel against the Ratzon Hashem. We start in the Aseres HaDibros with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzosicha Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim. The Ovdei Avodah Zorah have other gods that they, deities that they believe have control and can do things according to their will against the will of God. And the Torah says, Lo yilecha Elohim achirim al panai. There is no other God with beyond Hashem. Ein aloka mibala de Hashem. Ein tzur kelokeinu. This is the fundamental belief that is expressed and reflected in the very fabric of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. All these directions, Lomala Lomata, Dalet Ruchos, what we're saying is that God is the ultimate controller and nothing happens without Him. He is the ultimate authority, the Ein Shum Koach Ba'olam Lifol Neged Ratzon Hashem. Now we can understand the relationship between Parshas Balak and Kriyat Shema. In the battle of Klal Yisrael against Balak and Bilam, we have Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on all the ruchos and all the four sides. Even Afilu Kasher Nitkabtsu Kol Kochos Atuma Tachas Manigusam Shel Balak Ubilam B'Moav, you can gather together all of the Kochos HaTuma to defeat Klal Yisrael under the leadership of Balak and Bilam. Lo hayachal lifal k'neged Yisrael. With all due respect, gather together all the Kochos HaTuma. You, Bilam, you're the expert. But nevertheless, you won't be able to defeat Klal Yisrael. Ein lecha koach lifol k'neged Yisrael ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gila es achduso shehu sholeit yachid v'olamo v'ein zulasa. God revealed His oneness, His unity. No other power on the world could undermine God's will. God's will is absolute. And therefore, hu sholeit yachid v'olamo v'ein zulasa. This is the message of Kriyat Shema and the message of the Parsha of Balak and Bilam. In both cases, Hashem Echad, God, you are the sovereign dominion, the ultimate authority over everything, even over the Kochos HaTumah. Let Balak and Bilam gather together all the Kochos HaTumah. It's not going to help them. They will not be able to fight against Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed His Achdus, His oneness, His unity. He's the Sholeit. He's the only one who has the reins in His hand. No one else can control the world. That's the message of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and that's the message of Balak and Bilam. On a physical level, God controls and will subjugate all our enemies in the battles against them, Amalek, as we said, Mitzrayim. In the spiritual arena, God is fighting our battles, defeating and undermining all the kochos of Tumah, of Balak and Bilam, and that's behind the scenes. But we have to recognize this. We have to acknowledge this, because that's part of our emunah. That's part of the fundamental belief of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And finally, we have to answer our other question. Kara shochav kari ukelavimi kimenu. What is that pasuk so significant that should be recited in Kriyat Shema? Only because, as Rashi says, there's a similarity to B'shalbach of Kumecha. We go to sleep, we wake up in the morning. And now I want you to see a beautiful paragraph, which is the bottom of the second column on page 4. Ach lefi ha'amur hadvar brurim u'me'irim. This pasuk of Kara shachav ka'ari is the pasuk that's mentioned by Bilam in his nevuah when he speaks about the great power of Kriyat Shema, which we recite b'shachvenu uvekumenu. Ki afilu bi'eis she'anu yishenim al mitasenu v'einanu yodim ma she'oyve Yisrael zomimim kenegdenu megal HaKadosh Baruch Hu es achduso shehu ha'yachid ha'sholeit ba'olam umesaper umefer es atzas rishoyim shlo yodu v'lo yashchisu b'kol ha'kodshen. We don't know. We didn't have any testimony, as we saw, about God saving us for our enemies. When we go to sleep, we don't know what happens. A man goes to sleep, lamezogin, just a mushal, he goes to sleep at 11 o'clock at night. He wakes up at 7 in the morning. He's gotten 8 hours of sleep. What happened during those 8 hours? How many of his enemies, or the enemies of Klal Yisrael, were plotting against us? He doesn't know. And this is the claim of Achdus Hashem, that he's the Yochid, the Sholeit Bolomo, that he is Mefer Atzas Rishoyim. We don't know about it. And that's the Kara Shachav Kariu Klavimi Kimenu. You go to sleep, and you wake up. And what happened during the 9 hours in between, the 8 hours in between? You don't know. You have no awareness. And that's what the Parsha is teaching us. That Balak was unaware, we were unaware of it. Moshe was unaware of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mefer Atzas Oivim, and we don't even know about it. And that's the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And this is where, in the parasha of Balak and Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our salvation in order to protect us. And we don't even know about it. And therefore Hashem turns to the people of Israel through the mouth of Micha and Novi. Ami zechorna mayatz Balak melech Moav. And chas v'shalom, if we don't respond to that calling, when Hashem says, remember what happened to Balak, with Balak and Bilam, because then you're basically ignoring all of the zechiros. When Hashem says, I'm not going to listen to your pleas of Zohar Hashem Ayolanu, because you don't listen to my plea, because you don't make a declaration and an acknowledgement and a commitment to this fundamental belief of Hashem Hefer Tzatzkoyim, that Hashem is there to protect us. That's the message of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that's the message of Parshas Balak. And this is our emunah b'Hashem, that He does for us nisim v'neflos. Even when we're sleeping on our beds at night, we don't know, we have no asaga, how many different goyim are planning to attack the Jewish settlement, right? The Jewish state. We don't know that. We don't remember that, because we can't know it. So remember the Yeshuas Hashem at the time of Balak and Bilam, and then you will certainly have that strength of faith, the animamin of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he concludes with a very radical idea. He says, Nimtza lefi zeh, ki gam b'kriyat shma, I'm sorry, gam b'kriyat parshas Balak. Once a year, when we read Balak, we should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah that we saw the Chidah formulates, Ami Zecharna Mayotz Balak Melech Moav. The Haftorah for this parsha of Balak is the Divrei Anavi of Zechar Hashem of Zecharna Mayotz Balak. Why? Because this is going to give us the key to have the zchus that Hashem will hear our bakoshos, zechor Hashem ahoyelonu, zechor Hashem livnei adon. God will listen to our zechira when we plea, because we have responded to His plea, and we remember the great salvation of Hafara, that Hashem was Mefer Atzas Balak Ubila. I would like to end the shir with a little short Dvar Torah that I found here in a sefer called Mesoras HaRav. I don't know if you're familiar with it. This is a sefer that I began studying in the last maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. And it's an anthology of the insights of Rav Soloveitchik on the parsha. Some of it is based on shiurim that the Rav gave in Chumash on Motzi Shabbos in Boston. But that's only a small percentage of it. The large majority of this sefer is based on different transmissions of Torah Shebaal Peh, of different students who heard what the Rav said, and they would transcribe it, and then it was transmitted in a writing, in a book. The bibliography here is pages and pages long. I never realized how many books have been published based on different things the Rav said, or the Rav wrote, or didn't write. And It's really amazing. Now, what the author's name is Arnold Lustiger from Edison, New Jersey. What he tried to accomplish was to give you the tamtzit, you know, give you just the, you know, the summary of what the Rav may have spoken about for an hour or two in one paragraph. It's a real challenge. And amongst the paragraphs here that I was able to, I didn't finish it yet, but I was able to go through, he points out different statements about the Nevuah of Bilam. You know, what was exactly the level of that Nevuah? And in some cases, the Chazal seemed to compare that level of Nevuah of Bilam to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I wanted to share with you one short piece in which the Rav has a Sifri, and unlike many, many other sources that compare and equalize Moshe's Nevuah to that of Bilam, whatever that means, the Sifri points out a contrast between the two. So I don't know if you happen to have a Chumash in front of you, I'll read the Pasuk. It's in Bamidbar Chav Dalid, Pasuk Dalid. And after Bilam puts, lifts his staff, he says the following: Naum Shomea Imrekel, Asher Machze Shaddai Yechze Nofel Uglui Einai. So first of all, it says Shomea Imrekel, and the Sifri interprets it to mean that the Imrei Kel are forced upon Bilam. He has to be Shomea. And the picture you get is that Bilam is absolutely passive. None of the words that come out of his mouth are going to make him happy. He had a different intention, a different plan. And then the Sifri says, number two from this pasuk, you see, Nofel Ugluye Naim, that whenever Bilam prophesied, he was always in a sitting position. That too indicates apparently passivity. And then the Sifri goes on and says that in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, by contrast, Lo Yada, but for calm, that Moshe Rabbeinu, again, if you take this at face value, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik is going to reinterpret it, but as far as Moshe, he did not know who was speaking to him. Bilam knew who he was speaking to, but Moshe did not. And secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu only spoke with God when he was standing. As the Pasuk says...
I didn't understand that last one. What do you mean?
I didn't understand it either. That's why the Rav is going to reinterpret it. But let's just get the language of the Sifri. I don't have the Sifri in front of me. I'm sorry. I apologize. In this Sifri, he only quotes the translation of the Sifri. And the Sifri points out that there are two differences between Nevuas Bilam and Nevuas Moshe. Both of them are indicated in this Pasuk that I told you in Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Dalet. One is that he Shomea Imrekel, he knew that God was speaking to him. And the other is Nofel Ugluye Naim. And the Sifri says that Bilam knew who was speaking to him, based on this pasuk, and he spoke with God in a fallen posture. Whereas in the case of Moshe, Moshe did not know who was speaking to him. Yeah, I don't have the Sifri, but and Moshe only spoke with God while he was standing. Hini ato po amodi modi, is the pasuk. So we have this picture where Bilam falls and he gets the word of God and he knows where the word is coming from. Moshe Rabbeinu stands and he has all his nevuah in a standing position, atopo amod, and he doesn't know who's speaking to him. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik interprets this Sifri homiletically. He says the prophecy of Bilam differs from that of Moshe. He says, on the one hand, Bilam speaks very flowery language, metaphors, panoramic visions of the end of days. Who can compare to Bilam in his polished and elegant speech? He goes on to point out that we've integrated the words of Bilam into the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah. He does not look at the evil of Jacob. etc., etc. And every day in the morning a Jew enters the synagogue and he recites Bilam's prophecy, Matov Alecha Yaakov. So the words of Bilam's prophecy are majestic. However, what about Bilam? What relationship does he have to his prophecy? And he says there's a fundamental contrast which the Sifri is trying to point out. The difference between, again, this must be a summary of probably a half hour, an hour's lecture. He says, the difference between Moshe's prophecy and Bilam's is that Moshe did not know who was speaking to him. What does that mean? Moshe only spoke with God when he was standing. He says, when Moshe delivered the word of God, he was expressing the emotions and thoughts of his own soul. If I can add a commentary, it means that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not external, extraneous to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was really Moshe Rabbeinu's own feelings and emotions and thoughts. Moshe's prophecy on an experiential level, in terms of how Moshe experiences the prophecy, emanates from the depths of his own spirit. Rather than passively hearing the word of God, his receipt of prophecy while standing erect represents the assertion of his own personality. Like he's an active participant in the Nevuah. A personality that merges with his prophecy. Now it's Moshe Rabbeinu and his Nevuah are one and the same. When Moshe says, again, unfortunately, I just don't have time now to open up the Chumash, so I'll read it to you in the English. This is in Dvarim, Perek Dalet. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Batzalecha u'mitzaucha." Again, I'm adding the Hebrew here. When you're distressed, and all things will happen to you. And he describes the people suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu feels anguish over the people suffering. When he consoles the people, and he says, this is in Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim, then the Lord your God will bring you v'shav v'kibetzcha, right? Will bring you back from your exiles. He will have mercy upon you. He will once again gather you from the nations. Moshe Rabbeinu's soul overflowed with joy for those who returned to Zion after thousands of years. Moshe's prophecy was a clear